You know, the devil fights the word of God tooth and nail. And because he knows the power of the word. And he fights tooth and nail because he knows that once the word of God gets inside of you, the devil can't stop it no matter how hard he tries. The devil is not one of these big monsters you see on Hollywood. That's one of the seven mountains is entertainment. We have neglected. Preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Entertainment, media, government, schools and education. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Praise God. Woo! You guys awake?
Yeah.
Good. Now all I got to do is wake up. Before I start the message, you know, one thing that Scott learned listening to that is, wait a second, it's God's will for me to be healed.
Amen.
That's a revelation. The world just thinks, you know, if God wants it to be, well, you know what, 90% of the church thinks that too, and it's a total lie. It is a total lie. God's will is that everyone be healed of everything all the time. It is a result of the fall. Iniquity and everything. That's the root of it all. And so I'm going to give you reason number 14 out of the 30 reasons why we can be sure that it is God's will for everybody to be healed is the ministry of Jesus. Without Christ the healer, there would be no gospels. It made up a huge portion of his ministry. And it was the dinner bell to everything else. It opened the door. Healing is, and he went to that whipping post. See, if he just wanted to forgive us our sins, he would have just gone to the cross. He went to that whipping post for a reason. To pay for our healing. So let's say you have been a sinner all your life. Let's say you have confessed negative things against yourself. Let's say Jesus legally paid for your disobedience. And if it was your disobedience that opened you up to disease or whatever, sometimes it's not, whatever. But there's willful sin and then there's ignorance of sin. And that's what we have to really understand when it says in 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Now, when we confess our sins, we're confessing something we know we've done wrong.
Amen.
That's all of us, right? Unrighteousness is the things that we're not aware of. What we have done. And God doesn't hold things against us that we're not aware of. And as we grow in the Lord, we become aware of a lot more things. And that righteousness list goes down, you know, as we gain more esteem in our knowledge. So, but he cleanses you of that too. He not only cleanses you of all your sin, he forgives you of all your sin, but he cleanses you from all A-L-L righteousness, unrighteousness. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And what does that make you? Righteous. That means right standing with God. It means a lot more than that, but let's just take that. That's good right there. Right standing with God so that you can go in confidently to the throne of grace. I said the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of condemnation. It's not the throne of anger. It's not he's not shaking a finger at you, holding anything. No, it's a throne of grace.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank God for that. Praise God. Well, we are in part three of our series here. The secrets. Of Psalm 91. Let's just open up and read Psalm 91. I'm reading from the King James. because that's the same one that Paul and Silas used. Yeah, that's the old expression, you know. Verse 1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. I say he's more than enough. His grace is not insufficient, is it? No, his grace is sufficient. Praise God. He that dwells, lives, remains, abides, stays in the secret place of the Most High, lives there. So you don't just visit there. You got to live there. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. His silhouette surrounds you, and the devil sees it. Other people get to see that too. When your life exemplifies the things of God, they see the silhouette surrounding your life, silhouette of blessing. So that's the subject. Then number two is something that we say. We get involved here. This is what we, I will say of the Lord, he's mad at me. I will say of the Lord, he's putting his finger on a sin in my life. I will say of the Lord, he's given me a burden for this person. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. I will trust in him. Period. Done. Now that's the picture of what we're getting here. That's a lot more evolved. And you can go and say, I will say to the Lord, he is greater than this thing that's coming against me. He's greater than my need right now. And I declare that he is my refuge and my fortress. Take everything to him and start saying, you've got to say something. Because Jesus needs your words. Why is that? Hebrews 3:1. That's one of the scriptures. Hebrews 3, chapter 3, verse 1 says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. He is sent to mediate what you say. You need to say something. I will say of the Lord, he is my... That's part two of this psalm. The next verses 3 through 13 is what Jesus now says, because this is a snapshot. This is like a flashpoint, short form video of the current day, the present day ministry of Jesus. Isn't that good? It's a brief snapshot to say this is what Jesus does. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Oh. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the destruction, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. This is Jesus talking over you. 1,000 shall fall at your side. These are the 1,000 that just go along life and just say, yeah, I guess I need a vaccination. I guess I need to wear a mask. I guess I need to be shuffled along. These are the people that don't take advantage of what God has set up for them, an entire New Testament set up for their benefit that they never take advantage of. And so what happens is they have no faith. And if they have no faith, they can't activate that covenant because it's a covenant of faith. Right. Whosoever believes shall have. Praise God. 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but they shall not come near you. See, these are the people here, the 1,000 and the 10,000, those are the people we need to invite to church.
Yeah.
Those are the, thank you for that, Kim. We need to invite them to church. How many conversations do you hear on a daily or weekly basis about people complaining about the way things are? What does Jesus say we can have? There are too many people who don't know that they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. And it never changes. And you can say, well, if things are that bad, I know how you can change all of that. You can hear about it at church. Oh, I'm going with that religion stuff. No, either do I. Hate religion. But I do like the truth. And I like what God's done for us and set up that we can take advantage of it. And if you want his promises to be manifest in your life, his blessing, his provisions, his benefit, forget not all his, who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases. That's the benefits. All. Again, all. All. Say that, all.
All.
Praise God. I'm getting to something here. You guys still with me?
Yeah.
So, 1,000 shall fall, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Why? Because only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Amen.
We've all missed it. We've all known people who have missed it. We have all gone to churches that have, from the very pulpit, disgraced the blood and the stripes of Jesus by saying that God, if God's will for you to be saved, then you'll be saved. Or if God's will for you to be healed, then you'll be healed. If. No, we have a solid covenant that cannot be altered, changed, annulled. It cannot be taken back. God gave it to us, and if you believe it, you can stand on it, and God will be activated. Heaven will be activated on your behalf. But you've got to believe it, and you've got to stand on it. Don't let, you know, if somebody told a lie about you, just absolutely slimed you, smeared you, would you like that? Well, they're doing it from pulpits every single week. God's tired of it. I'm glad I'm not God. There'd be a whole lot less people in here. Including me, probably. Oh, Jesus is good. Only with your eyes shall you behold to see the reward of the wicked. Because, this is Jesus speaking, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you. They will keep you in all your ways. They shall hold you up in their hands so you don't even stub your toe. You shall, now, he says, you shall tread upon the lion and the adder. Didn't he say this to the disciples too? When he said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall you trample under your feet. This is from verse 3 to 13. This is Jesus, your high priest, speaking for you. The apostle and prophet and high priest of your confession. When you activate the covenant, Jesus stands up and he starts talking and he starts releasing. I'm going to get into why this is so powerful in a few seconds, because this will light up for you. Because in verse 14, now the Father has something to say. I said the Father has, when he speaks, creation happens.
Amen.
When he speaks, things move. When he speaks, life comes out of his mouth. Power, strength, healing, whatever it is, whatever the subject is. He says this, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him.
Amen.
I will set him on high because he's known my name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. He knows my name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, and that they have right standing with me because of that blood. He knows that he can calm a storm because I am Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Be still. Because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. This is God talking. This is what he wants to do in your, this is who he wants to be in your life on a moment by moment basis. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I'll deliver him. And I will honor him. Now it says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says that I will honor those who honor me. God wants to honor you. Did you know that? He longs to bestow his honor upon you. And that happens when you honor him. He will honor you. You know, you get a lot of religious mindsets that say, oh, God wouldn't do that for me. I mean, yeah, he will. He said so right here. I will answer him. I will honor him. You know, if we would just let the Bible interpret itself and not, and let it correct our preconceived notions and let it alter our opinions and alter our attitudes and not inject any of our own into this and just let God be God and let him tell us who he is. Now, Smith Wigglesworth said that, I don't know God by what I see. I don't know God by what I hear. I know God by what he says about himself. That's God. Oh, he's powerful too. Cancer, leukemia, whatever. Heart problems, kidney. Do you know that heaven has all, it has a whole pavilion of spare parts? Did you know that? It really does. Jesse saw it. who else was it? Kat Kerr. Yeah, Kat Kerr. She saw it and she went in there. Now, Jesse asked about it. He said, what is that? And the angel that was with him said, that's not on our schedule today. But do you need a new heart? Do you need a new kidney? How about a new knee? Or a hip? Come on. Is God's arm so short? I'll tell you, his arm is just as long as your faith is. This is a limitless, limitless covenant that we have here. I want to get into something here. Turn with me. Did I finish this? With long life will I satisfy him, and I'll show him my salvation. My salvation, the God kind of salvation. This is the God's kind of gospel. This is the God kind of life. This is the God kind of salvation that is salvation to the whole man. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, you got to know some things here. Before we get into 1 Timothy, you know, it says this, that Jesus tasted death for every man. He tasted death for every man. He tasted death, physical death, soul death, and spiritual death. He died spiritually. I can prove it by the scripture. He tasted death for every man, and then he was made alive again in the spirit. If that's not born again, I'd like to know what born again is. He was quickened, made alive in the spirit, it says in, put that up, please, 1 Peter 3:18. You got to read these things and meditate on them, and then God will just say, pull that up. Because also Christ, for sin, did suffer. This is the Young's literal translation. Righteous for unrighteousness, that he might lead us to God, having been put to death indeed in the flesh and having been made alive in the spirit. Why would he have to be made alive in the spirit unless he was dead? You know, there's a lot of controversy about this, that Jesus didn't die spiritually. Jesus didn't go to hell, or what part of hell did he, you know, forget that. He died. If he didn't if he didn't die spiritually, then our redemption is incomplete. And that, you know, big sins and like Hitler's and everything. Did you know that Jesus, when he went to hell, he paid for the worst kind of sin you could possibly imagine, to the least, the whole thing. Because there is a book of deeds. If your name isn't found in the book of life, there's the book of deeds. And it's going to catalog everything that the blood covered if you only believed it and received it. This is, the rich man in hell still had his mind intact and his memory. Father Abraham said, son, remember. Don't let anybody go to hell because they don't belong there. I don't care what they did. I don't care who they murdered. I don't care what. I live life this way, that there's nobody's sin is greater than mine. And if you get that right, you're going to have compassion for people who need it. But first, here we are, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 5 says this. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. We're talking about the secret of our high priest today. I want us to take a good look at our high priest. You know, here's the thing. Because I've heard this scripture over and over. When I was young in the Lord, for years, 20, 25, 30 years, I looked at the scripture and looked at the scripture, but I don't know if I ever really got what it was saying. Until one day, I woke up and several other scriptures started to come into play in my mind, and I saw it for what it is. The man, Jesus Christ. It doesn't say the Son of God there, does it? Oh, he is the Son of God. He is God himself. But he is the man, Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus left heaven, everything that was rightfully his as the Son of God, all the power, all the authority in heaven, everything that was his as the Son of God, it says in Philippians chapter 2, he put that aside and became a man. He did that. It was an eternal sacrifice that he made for us because he is still a man at the right hand of the Father. He is a born-again, spirit-filled man. Now, let me say this, and let me drive this in like a nail as far as I can drive it into you. There is a born-again, spirit-filled man in the Godhead. And he is just as much God as the Father is. And he is just as human as you and me. When you confess your sins, he goes to the Father, and when he turns to the Father, he is God. And he says, forgive him! God says, yeah, he's forgiven. Wiped out, forgotten, done. All I see is the blood. When he turns to you, he turns to you as with all the humanity that he has, that he is, because he's still human. And he says, you are forgiven. You are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Go in peace. That's what it means to have a born-again, spirit-filled man in the Godhead for the first time in creation from the time he rose from the dead. God. Now listen, why that's kind of clinical if he's just there to mediate the New Testament. You know, here it is. The same intimacy that God has with Jesus, that's what he desires with you and me. He desires that same love, that same intimacy, that same acceptance, that same peace, that same trust. He wants to share that with you. He wants yours, and he wants to give you his. He wants to share that secret place. He wants to share all of his secrets with you like he did with Jesus. And you need to open up and share your secrets with him. He knows everything anyhow. You might as well just tell him. For all things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, so you can't say too much about being walking honestly before God. The man Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God, fixed there for you. Unfortunately, I think that 99% of the church thinks, if I was to wager, and I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I would say, and I believe that probably 99% of the church believes that Jesus' entire ministry was coming into this earth, going to the cross, dying, rising from the dead, and he's done. That was a purpose behind all of that, so that he could be raised up and represent you and me, because what he did, you know, I'm getting so many things right now. Help me just do this, Lord. Let me get back here. He knows what it is to live in a fallen world that is sin-soaked, devil-filled, demonized, cursed. He knows it all. He went through it all. He knows what it's like to be you, yet without sin. This is so important, because without sin, he was able, it says he was made to be sin with our sin, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, it says, in him. So, if Jesus sinned, he would have lost all of his authority. But since he did not sin, he never committed sin, he never sinned, but he was made to be sin with our sin. And so because he never sinned, he never lost his authority. So when that sin came upon him, he absorbed it into his spirit. And since he didn't lose authority, he took authority over it, put it under his feet, and rose from the dead. The Father released more power in the resurrection than was ever released in all creation. It destroyed the demonic system, the demonic realms. It destroyed. That's what Paul saw, and he wrote about it in Ephesians chapter 1. And he wrote about, and in Colossians, where he says he destroyed, spoiled principalities and powers. That power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it absolutely blew things apart in the spiritual realm. And the devil is still shaking. Now, on God's time and God's calendar, that was only 2 days ago. So the devil is still throbbing from that. When you start binding the devil, you know, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Right? Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he took that power and conferred it right back on the church. And he said, go ye therefore into all the world, into the schools, into the governments, into the education, into whatever. Those seven mountains. Go into all that and preach what? The gospel. And I'll work with you. He said, and I'll work with you. Signs of confirming the word that you preach. Why? Because he's at the right hand of the Father saying, they're preaching it. Come on, let's step out. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's show them how heaven operates. This whole thing was set up for us to take advantage of. This is how heaven operates. You come to him. You say words. Jesus starts getting up and he starts activating heaven. Angels will be released. They shall bear you up in your hands. They'll guard so you don't stub your toe. Nothing. And you will have his provisions that he speaks over your life freely because you trust in him. Period. The covenant is based on, all the provisions are based on faith, trust in him. That his word cannot return to him void, but it will accomplish that which he sent it to do, and it will prosper in the thing that it was sent to. God's word works. All he asks for us is to do is open our mouth and say it. The word works for those who work it. You got to work it. Like Dwight was, these teaching about reaping. We have a mouth. We need, this is how we start to reap, is with our mouth. Declaring God's provisions for our giving. What does Luke 6:38 say? I think Oral Roberts had that memorized when he was 10 years old. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give words, you'll receive words. Give him something to work with, and he'll give you heaven. This is the secret of our high priest. He's your high priest. And he is not unable to be touched with the feelings of your infirmities, but was in every point tempted as you are, yet without sin. So now he can work with you and all heaven behind him, all heaven behind you when you walk in faith. You see how important that is? God, forgive the preachers who have turned this whole thing around and made it look like you have to live up to some standard. And then when you get there, it just gets higher and higher and higher. No, there was a day that Jesus died. He paid for it all. And you're accepted in him. Praise God. I think we have to terminate this now. I don't mind you laughing when I'm trying to be funny. Anyhow, I hope you got something out of that. Because Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to move heaven for you. But it's really, you've got the keys to the car. You got to put it in the ignition and start it. Amen? Father, I just thank you for your word, the beauty and the power of you, the living Christ, the wonderful God. Thank you, Father. You sent Jesus, who is the full expression of the invisible God, who demonstrated, who manifested your glory and took everything that he did and accomplished and placed it into the heart of Paul to write it out for us so that we don't just have the Gospels, but we have everything that the Gospels were about. All your works. That the words, that the thoughts Jesus carried away from this earth unuttered are in those letters. For us to come to know, recognize, and work and operate in the same way Jesus did. Thank you for that, Father. We go encouraged to work your covenant that you have set up for us to take advantage of, to give us access into our inheritance, the glory, and the power that's always coming to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You have something to say now. You have something to tell people. Let's go tell them. Amen. God loves you. I love you, too. I love you so much. See you Wednesday night for...